If you would go ahead and mark yourself with the number 72. Number 72, be with you, Lord. And that'll be the song of invitation. Before that, we'll sing one page over to 73. We have our prayer. Glad to talk tonight to be on prayer. So this first one is about prayer and the invitation song. We have our prayer. We have
let's pray. Dear our wonderful, merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you with humility and understanding of how great you are. We praise your name every time we can, and we thank you for giving us this ability to be able to come together in the middle of the week as we have accustomed. Thank you for the brethren we have that we can all join together as was given example in your word. We thank you for the word you've given to us, that it comforts us and teaches us, that we learn from it. We thank you for our ability to come to you in prayer and the peace that it gives us to come to you with our problems. We ask that you help us to learn from your word every day, and specifically take away the lessons that we learned while we're together and teach each other, learn from each other. We ask that you help us to be patient and have wisdom in our day-to-day dealings, and let you shine through us and bring this word that we receive here and bring it out into the world to show the world who you are through us. We thank you for the ability that we have to know that we have a promise that is given to us, that was given by blood of Jesus on the cross for the ultimate sacrifice. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Tonight, as Noah mentioned, I'm planning on speaking on prayer. So obviously it's not a new subject for us, but it's obviously a very important one for refreshing. And so I'd also like to share some of my own experiences and what I've had from that. Now, these two stories that I have I hope they won't come across as boastful, but it is ways that the Lord has blessed me in examples through the way I've prayed and that sort of thing. So while I was in basic training, with no other distractions like my phone or anything like that, I was able to remember to pray more often. I prayed for two things in particular while I was there that were on my mind. The first one was that I did well on our end of course exam that culminated with everything we learned and studied for 7 weeks. And so I studied for it, as did everybody else, but I didn't study nearly as hard as any of the other guys who are trying for honor graduate or that sort of thing. And then by the end of it, I only missed two of the questions on the over 100 question test, scoring the highest in my group of 50 and one of the highest in my squadron of about 600 or 700. The other thing I prayed for was that I was able to get marksman, which is a bit more of a selfish sort of thing, but you had to hit 22 out of 24 of your qualifying shots on the rifle range. And so it was obviously not something of necessity, but it was something I wanted nonetheless. And so I prayed for it, and then the Lord granted me the ability of hitting 24 out of 24. And again, that was the best out of my group. And so sharing these experiences with you, I'm not tooting my own horn, because to me at least, it's too clearly of examples of the blessing that Lord has given me because of me going to Him in prayer. I was by no means expecting to do that well in either of those things, even if they were my goals. But it's very much evidence for the Lord granting me an answer and going further beyond what I'd asked for. My experience is proof to me enough of the benefits of going to God in prayer, and I'm sure some of you have had similar experiences as well. But I'd like to read some scriptures now on how and why we need to pray for us to think on. If you'll turn to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll read verses 4 through 9. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 6 talks on thanksgiving. As we pray, all things need to be done with thanksgiving for the blessings that He's given us in that respect, as we pray for our food and that sort of thing, the way He provides for us. Also in this respect, as long as we are thankful for how we receive, you can ask anything of God, and understanding that it comes from Him. We receive peace because we have confidence that God has received our request, and confidence in that we'll get an answer. No matter what, God is always listening. Verse 8 is not just a list of things to think on, but also things to thank God for in daily life. all the things that are honest, of just, of lovely, of good report, all these things that we are to think on are also blessings of God to be in the world, for us to have knowledge of and to be able to meditate on. For verse 9, Paul has very appropriately emphasized God bringing peace. Personally, prayer is where I'm able to have the most peace. That's while I'm during basic training and that sort of thing, I lie awake in a room when everybody's trying to sleep, and it's a very stressful sort of situation. There's nobody really I'm comfortable with around me, that sort of thing. And so I was able to very much find peace in saying a prayer right before I was able to fall asleep, and it helped me. This way, I was able to lay all my concerns out and before God, and knowing that He has control over all of it, was able to help me fall asleep in peace. Next, we'll read James chapter 5, if you'll turn there now. James chapter 5. James 5 in verses 13 through 18. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Here James brings some more situations of praying. He lists those who are afflicted, and by afflicted meaning troubled, not necessarily sickness as he goes into later. But being troubled, as we just talked about, is can be fixed with the peace that comes with prayer. He lists the sickness and praying for others who are dealing with physical ailments and that such. Lists praying together also for spiritual sickness and for those who might have fallen away. He also lists the evidence of Elijah's prayers and the power that God was able to provide him with that for the example to be shown to the Israelites at the time. Not that we're obviously promised something as spectacular as stopping the entire rain cycle, but the Lord's will is done no matter what no matter what we ask of Him. Anyway, if you'll now turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2. We'll read 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 8. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Paul writes to Timothy in these books, giving him very clear and useful instruction. From verse 1, all of these prayers need to be common practice for all men. Instructions are for kings and all in authority, and even if our kings do not, we still have need to do those in any position, to pray in any position that we are in, and whether it be of leadership or even leading those who are lost or don't understand Christ, as we're leading them to bring them to the Word of God. As verse 5 states, the truth talked about in verse 4, that there is one God to pray to, through our mediator, Jesus Christ, whom we pray through, given his sacrifice, to allow him to be that mediator. In verse 8, it tells how men might pray everywhere without wrath and doubting. Going to God angry in prayer is like yelling at a waiter for something that the cook did. You're getting mad at the person who's just going to fix the problem for you. If we ask for help with a problem in the right way, the more likely we are to get the answer we're looking for. For doubting, we must pray with the knowledge that God has control over all. We shouldn't doubt if he is able to handle anything. We also shouldn't doubt if he will handle something. We just might not understand or know why, or it might not be the way we want it to be handled. And finally, if we pray in the right way, not doubting that he has heard us in any way, he always is able to hear us as we go to him in prayer through Jesus. This avenue of prayer that we have to speak to God is a wondrous lifeline that we have available to us. It provides us with a very special connection through Jesus that we have. Jesus died on the cross so that we might have remission of our sins and provide this lasting connection. If you have yet to accept that connection by confessing your sins and being baptized, or need help in any way, we're made ready to help you if you would come forward as we stand and sing.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I hear the cry to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then in dangerous threaten, fear storms of God, your wrist upon my head. Fear flashing sins live everywhere about me. They cannot harm or break my heart afraid. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. God lost the sense of thy abiding presence. Wherever I am, to feel that thou art here. Be with me, Lord, when loneliness o'ertakes me, when I must weep amid the fires of pain, and when shall come the hour of my departure for worlds unknown. O Lord, be with me
there.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for this time that we can come together, study your word. Thankful for the lessons that we've heard tonight from Rex and Elijah. We pray that we'll keep these things on our minds, and that we especially remember the power of prayer. We're especially mindful of those that are in need of our prayers, those that are physically ill and spiritually ill, not able to be with us tonight. We pray that you'll be with them and help them to return to us. We're thankful for this congregation and those that have come together this evening to worship you. And we pray that we will always enjoy coming together and studying your word and learning more about your Son, Jesus Christ. Please help us as we strive every day to be faithful to you, and help us to live in such a way that heaven can be our home. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.